Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson.
Good morning, Jeffersonians. We're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed here. We are having some technical difficulties here in the studio this morning. We're not able to hear the show, given what's going on. We always listen on our headphones, and we're all sitting here going blindly, so please bear with us. Just want to do a quick couple of housekeeping updates real quick. Tomorrow night, we are going to be having a candidate running for city council here at our Patriot meeting here in Reading at 6 o'clock at the church to be unnamed down on Bonneview Road, 2570 Bonneview Road, and that is going to be Mrs. Erin Resner. She's going to be coming in and having a chat with us and telling us why she'd be a good candidate for city council. So if you're interested, you want to hear what she has to say and have questions for her, please come out and visit with us and visit with her and see what you find out and see if that helps with your decision on who you vote for. Also, we're going to be, doing a couple other things there. I think that was the main thing for the meeting tomorrow night. We're going to talk about some Jefferson stuff earlier than that. At like 5:30, we'll talk about some of the Jefferson stuff going on, and we'll get updates from Terry and Sally. They're in the South. They're down in Mariposa and Stanislaus counties. They went and met with the groups down there and wandered over to Yosemite, which is in Jefferson, which is absolutely stunning. So they went over there and they're checking everything out down there, meeting up with people, getting the word out and getting the word from people, and it's all very positive. So they'll give us an update on that tomorrow night. Also today we are going to be talking about tonight. I'm sorry, what?
I think that's a mistake, is it not?
No, today's the second Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, today is the second Sunday. Today is the 14th. Yes. So we are going to be having our conference call tonight. We have our conference calls on the second and fourth Sundays of each of the Sundays of every month. And again, we want to make sure everybody understands we have new numbers, and we've had these new numbers for a while, but I'm just going to reiterate them. The phone number to call in to the conference call is 1-408-638-0986. Again, 408-638-0986. And then the access code is 989-704-2586 pound or hashtag. Again, access code is 989-704-2586 pound or hashtag. You can also go online, and you can, the best place to go is to our calendar on the SOJ51.org website. Go to the calendar, get in there and find out what the calendar is. Get on today's date and click on the link for the chat room. It'll take you right to the chat room. You can be on the call, you can hear what's going on the call, and then you can type into the chat room as well. And it works out pretty well. You can communicate both ways, and if you have questions, you can get those asked and answered and go through the process that way. But we welcome everybody to participate, find out what's going on regarding Jefferson. And I think that's it for that part of it right now. So, Chris, what you got?
I don't have anything to add to that. Now, like you said, tomorrow Erin Resner will be at the Patriots meeting. And for those of you that are interested in the Reading City Council today on Sovereign Minds, about approximately 10:30, Michael DeQuisto will be in as our guest here on Sovereign Minds. So you have a chance to listen to one of the people running for Reading City Council today, and you have a chance to hear another one tomorrow night. So we should be able to keep you informed.
There we go. And also, too, I want to remind everybody, too, since we're coming up on different dates and whatnot, we have here in Shasta County, we have multiple locations for we have Shasta County Intermountain Patriots, and they they host the Jefferson meetings up there as well, and that's up in the Bernie area. On the second Tuesday of each month, they have them in Bernie, and then on the fourth Tuesday, they have them in MacArthur. So, you know, find out, get linked with that. And the other thing, too, is go to the website, soj51.org website, and we have the Messenger, which is a nice little publication that this team of ladies that we have put together, and they do a stellar job. They keep everything updated as much as possible and get all the word out of what's going on, you know, in all facets of what's going on with us here in California and or just Jefferson in general. But they get the word out, and it has the calendar of all the locations different given the counties when their meetings are and so forth. So if you're in a local county here, you find out when and where to go. And if you have friends, enemies, or whatever in other counties that might want to participate, you can tell them where their counties are meeting and what time and so forth. And that's very helpful. It gets the word out, and people will understand what's going on and get involved with Jefferson. So I just want to make sure everybody knew that. We also have Trinity County, and I just missed it. There it is. They're the second Thursday of each month. And that's up in Hayfork, and then their third Wednesday of each month is in Weaverville. So again, just go on those sites, check them out, or on the website, check out the calendar, and see what's going on there for everybody. And the Messenger, get signed up with that. It's a free subscription. We don't sell anything on there. There's nothing like that. It comes into your email. You can read it or dismiss it, whatever you want to do. But it's got a lot of good information in it. So I strongly encourage you to do that as well.
Yeah, and this week's Messenger is kind of interesting, and it tells you the way they word the things on the ballot. So if you are for the gas tax, if you think that gas tax is a good idea, then you want to vote no on 6. Now, if you are not for the gas tax and you think it's a bad idea, which I would say I fall in that category,
ditto.
You have to vote yes on 6. So it's yes to repeal the gas tax and no to not repeal the gas tax and leave it in place. But as usual, Javier Becerra went ahead and worded this thing so it looks like if you're against the tax, you think you would want to vote no. But the tax is already in. It's already being ran, so this is to repeal it. So you want to vote yes to repeal it. So
yes, to make it go away.
Yeah, and I don't think that was by any means an accident that they worded this way to make it confusing so that a yes vote means you're against the gas tax, and a no vote means you're for the gas tax. So, you know, once again, if we can't play fair and they somehow get something on the ballot, let's just word it to be as
confusing.
Know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
well, and they do that by design. It's done intentionally because then the low information voter who's going to go out there and just say yes or no, just click the box, they're going to get those votes. And it's done by design.
They're going to think, hey, gas tax, no, I don't like that, so I'll vote no. Well, you just voted to keep it in place. So.
Yes, exactly. Can't be honest about it, can we?
We do have a caller online. I hope it's him not canceling his his stint with me on the next show. Nick, are you there?
I am here. The reason I've got a comment, and then I want to ask a question.
Okay.
The comment I've got is I will be there at 10 till 12, and I'm going to have a referendum against the no cash bail law that Jerry Brown passed. I went by Holly Bail Bonds and signed her petition to have it put on the ballot so that we can vote on it whether we want a no-cash bail system or not. And I think back to what Jerry Brown has done to our criminal system in the last 5 years, and I can't see anything good coming of this. So if anybody wants to stop by and sign this referendum, I'll have it there. The only requirement is you're a registered voter in Shasta County. And that being said, I clicked on the Messenger yesterday, and I clicked on a Mark Baird video, about a two-minute video, and I got the impression that there's 10 more counties that want to sign up for Jefferson, or we're courting 10 more counties. Is that so, or did I misunderstand?
Well, I would say I didn't read that part, Nick, but there's 58 counties in California, and we have 23 of them, so it wouldn't really surprise me if there's 35 more counties that want to join Jefferson at this point. But I'll have to go back and see what you're talking about and watch it. So, it certainly wouldn't surprise me, but I think we've probably got enough counties in Jefferson right now. We need to get this thing through, and then those other 10 counties can become the 52nd state.
Yeah, that sounds like a dang good idea. Okay, I'll see you at 10.
Sounds good, Nick. Morning. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Nick. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if Nick, when he talked to Holly Bail Bonds there, quite frankly, we haven't really had a bail system for the last several years anyways. I know a lady that does bail bonds, and basically, at least here in Shasta County, and I think most of the state, it was either there was no bail, you know, so that no bail, you're being held and there is no bail offered, or the bail was so extremely ridiculously high that basically it was no bail. But I mean, I know the bail bonds have been really, really suffering the last several years because, you know, the way, whatever it is, California court system, whatever, has really done away with bail anyway. So this just makes it official. But
so then how does that work? I mean, if you're accused of a crime and you're penalized by having bail, how does that work if they're doing away with it? What's the hold?
Well, I think basically in Shasta County, anyways, the jail's full, so it doesn't really matter. You're not going to make bail. If they put a $10 bail on you, you know, you don't need to come up with a dollar because you're going to be released anyways. If the jail's full, they're going to turn you away. So I think that's part of the problem is now the jails are all full. What's the point in putting bail on there? You're going to be released immediately anyways, unless it's such a horrendous crime, you know, murder or multiple murders or, you know, whatever. Then at that point, there's no bail anyway. So, you know, you can go steal a vehicle. You're not going to be locked up. So why put a bail on you? You're going to be released immediately anyways.
Well, maybe have that bail attached to you, so making sure that ensuring that you've come to your court date. And if you forego that, then that money goes to the court. And then guess what? All of a sudden, we have some money to build a jail.
Okay.
Do an add-on or something.
I agree with that. But if you were to steal a car and they were put in jail and you need a $10,000 bail, you know, if I would come down there and either give you $1,000 or just wait 10 minutes, you're going to be released anyways. That's the situation we're in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I agree with your premise, and that's a great idea, but that is the problem. You know, I could show up and say, hey, I'm here to bail out a win. Oh, sorry, we already released him. Hey, that's good news for me.
Save me 10 grand. Wow. Okay, we've got a caller on the line. We've got Matt on the line. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Hey, I don't want to team your guys' trios, but the judicial system is a complete fraud upon the public. They release repeat offenders and target revenue-generating working people.
Say it ain't so, Matt.
Well, I can tell you in Shasta County, a third grader could prove that they were railroading people through the system so that they could generate statistics and get grant money. The system's a fraud. I love my country. I'm a loyal American. I even wanted to study law at one point, but it's a complete fraud upon the people. Procedures become ritual and it's sanctimon, and if you challenge the corrupt status quo of the government within the judicial system, they just smash you. You guys have a good day.
All right, Matt. Yeah.
Matt's not wrong.
No, Matt is not wrong. And I'm glad I had Captain Crunch today and not Cheerios.
Yeah, so, me too.
Anyway, but no, and what Matt's saying is exactly right. And you know, I was just talking to Wynn about this beforehand, and the media is complicit in the whole thing and helps along. So Friday, the two big stories on the radio that I heard, and it was just driving me nuts, was somebody set the fire to some toilet paper and paper towels at the McDonald's on Churn Creek Road. And that was the lead story off NPR, off the news, off
right.
What the newscast read during the break in the hour. And that there was a chiropractor in Palo Cedro that offered medical advice. So those were the two big giant stories. And to Matt's point, you know, where are you going to get some money there? You're going to get some money out of a chiropractor. So let's go after him. I remember a few years ago, right here in River City, there was a Judge Ruggiero, and great judge, fantastic guy. He has retired since then. But I'll never forget, there was a little tiny blurb in the old Wretched Flashlight that talked about there was a child molester with multiple counts against him, multiple counts. And one of the assistant DA district attorneys went ahead and accepted a plea bargain down to like one count and, I don't know, 5 years probation, some ridiculous thing. Guy should have been locked up forever. And Judge Ruggiero, which is not really his, you know, job or purview, he said, no, I will not accept this in my court, and looked at the assistant district attorney and said, you get your butt back and do your job. I am not going to accept this. Well, I remember that barely got any news press at all. But at the same time, there was, you know, a bond, a grant. And our wonderful state went through all these body shops in town and you know, had people, hey, can you fix this extra dent if I get you my, if you can, you know, put that in the appraisal and get my car fixed. And that was the front story on the Record Searchlight, KRCR, you know, all the news stations had this. That was the lead story about, you know, all these horrible body shops that fix an extra dent, and it was insurance fraud. And I just thought, you know, you're letting child molesters go for crying out loud, but you're going after a guy that's trying to make a living, you know, fixing dents in a car, and he fixed an extra one. And it's just, so, yeah, what Matt's saying is exactly right. It's so corrupt. They go after people that have something to lose, some of the money. In the meantime, the real criminals are just turned loose. You can't get blood out of a turnip, so they're turned loose.
Wow, wow. Hey, good morning, Mark. We got Mark Baird on the line. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning, you guys. How you doing?
So far, so good.
You know, I just wanted to touch on something that Chris was saying about the jail. You won't be, you have a really good chance of never going to jail, but, you know, it'd be interesting if people asked the sheriff or the jail commander or whoever you could get to, how many of the people in jail are serving time for crimes they committed, and how many of the people in jail are awaiting court? Because it's typical, at least here, that probably 90% of the people in jail, and the reason the jail's full is because their court process has been delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. So any offender that comes in, they have to let someone go. If you know, and that's a federal court ruling, you can only pack your jail if it has a capacity of 125, say, or 225 or whatever. You can only have so many people in there, and then you have to start letting people go. But for the most part, all the people in jail are waiting for court. It is the court that's broken, not the jail. It's the court that's broken, not the sheriff's department. It's the court that's broken.
So then
they're not processing these guys, and they're not sending them to state prison where they belong, because Jerry Brown doesn't want them in state prison. So they're being remanded to county supervision or community supervision or whatever the heck they call it in your particular county. But it's the courts that are broken, and it's the state of California that broke them.
Well, how about fixing it by having night court? Remember back in the 70s, that TV show, the sitcom, it was night court? They'd bring people in. They had court going 24/7. We could do that here. It'd be cheaper to do that than to build another jail. Then we could just kind of cycle them through and get them in and get them out. And those that need to be in jail and incarcerated, they go directly to jail. Is there a way to...
Well, that's one way to do it. But then the other aspect of that is you have AB 109, AB 47, whatever it is, where if you rape an unconscious person, now it's a misdemeanor. I mean, you know, so you have these criminal statutes that have been changed so that you're putting these violent offenders, you're just turning them loose, basically, or giving them a ticket.
How about comply with those?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that, you know, so, but I don't know whether you could get the state of California to go along with that, and then what they do is they just stop giving your county money because they hold your tax money hostage. You know, your county sends them a buck, and then they send you back the 9 cents that you have discretion over, and the rest of it's mandated. So all they're going to do is just hold you up with your own money and say, well, we're not even going to send you back the 9 cents, or we're just going to mandate that you spend this money. In other words, if you receive this money, you agree to spend it on this, this, and this.
Then how about the tax collectors keep it? Have all the tax collectors keep the money and don't send it to the state. Let's turn it on its ear.
You're not going to get me to disagree with you. I totally agree, but that's the system we live under now, where you're literally being held hostage with your own money. You live in a state where the governor's a felon and where the attorney general's a felon. And guess what? They commit felonious behavior all the time, and they recommend felonious behavior, and they condone felonious behavior, and you get what you pay for. So, you know, my suggestion to everybody is, coming up in this election, if you don't like the way you're being forced to live, vote.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know what to do. Vote. You know, let's do something about this, and we can.
Well, everybody's got to remember, too, their tax collectors are elected officials, so they answer to the public. So they there needs to be a different spin on how we handle things, and if that's one of the options as far as spinning it, you know, we hold the money. We mandate that they hold the money, and they do not turn it into the state until we have things turned around in our own county and all counties.
Well, here's another aspect of that, though. Yeah, that's true. The tax collector is an elected official. The tax assessor is an elected official, but let's look at the reality of it. The sheriff is an elected official, too. But even an elected official is being held hostage by the money. You know, so you have a state where if your tax collector says, I'm not going to send you any money, and then the state says, yeah, fine, so I'm not going to send you any money either, and then you won't have any money to turn the lights on in your office to tell us you're not going to give us any money. I mean, and you have a sheriff who's a constitutional officer. He's elected official. He's supposed to be the highest law enforcement officer in the United States within your county, but is he really? In California, he works for the state's attorney general. And if he says no to an unconstitutional program, or if he refuses to arrest on unconstitutional laws, then the state's attorney general just withholds all the federal money that he should get. And your county supervisors, he might work as an independently elected official, but your county supervisors hold the purse strings on him, and they just say, okay, fine, we're just going to cut your budget down to $1 for salaries.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, no sheriff can operate like that. So really, you know, our problem isn't how we elect people or who we elect. Our problem is we don't have liberty to start with.
Yep.
And the reason we don't have any liberty is we have no say over how our lives are conducted in the state legislature, which was constructed specifically to deny us access to political power and create the oligarchy that we have now. I mean, you have no influence over your elected official at the state level. They have no influence over the executive. They've abdicated their responsibility to the executive and the judicial branch. You never win in state court when you're suing the state. You can't win in Sacramento because the guy doesn't care what you think, and he doesn't care what you want, and he doesn't have to because it's the money that elects him. Look at Brian Daly. He's running for state senate, I think, for Ted Gaines' seat next time. He really doesn't care what you want or what you think. Why should he? He's the minority speaker of the assembly, and he's really proud of the fact that he reaches across the aisle. What's he reaching across the aisle for? Oh, I know. They want another $7 or $8 billion water bond. Well, what happened to the last $8 billion we gave them just 2 years ago that built zero water infrastructure, where they used $250 million to tear out four perfectly good water storage facilities on the Klamath River over and above the objections of 90% of the electorate who voted against it. You know, so where is this going to go for us unless we have some liberty? And here's the answer, nowhere.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Hey, Mark, with that, we need to go to a break real quick, and we'll come back. Can you hang on with us?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. The time has come.
We're 51.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. fivestarbank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
All right, we are back. Mark, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All righty.
So in other words, if we don't have the ability to influence state politics with regard to our counties through our elected representatives, and even if we did in the one or two areas where that might be possible, but I got to tell you, after tens of thousands of attempted contacts on behalf of Jeffersonians to our elected representatives, I have yet to see one single one of them answer that, yes, we'll help you. Yes, we'll take a look at that. Yes, we'll even listen to what you have to say. Yes, we care what matters to you. You know, more likely we get the, I don't have face-to-face meetings with my constituents, or or what Brian Daly said to one of the leaders in Siskiyou County, I'm never going to do anything for Siskiyou County ever again because you people are just too much trouble. Those are the responses we get out of the legislature. And we know that in the 1879 convention, it was built that way in order to deny the people access to political power. That's it. That's the long and short of it. The title of the convention was Get Rid of the Chinese. You know, so it's just the kind of thing it's almost laughable at what an oligarchy this state is and how little power the people have to influence. Now, CalPERS has some influence. CalSTRS has some influence. SEIU has influence. Especially when they ally themselves with the American Communist Party, they have lots of influence then, but you don't. And that's what we need to change in Jefferson.
Now, wait a minute. You said a moment ago that one elected official said that the constituents were too much trouble?
Yeah. Yeah, Brian Daly told one of our leaders here in Siskiyou County that he would never do anything for the people of Siskiyou County ever again because we were just too much trouble.
Good Lord. Even if you thought that, why would you ever speak it?
I got to say one thing about Brian. He doesn't have a filter. If he thinks that he says it, he means it. He believes it, you know, so at least the guy's honest. I don't agree with what he said, but he did say something that he felt from the heart. And what he feels is that he has the power as an elected representative to ignore certain groups of his constituency because he thinks they're too much trouble. And guess what? He does have that power. And here's another revelation for all of you that weren't sure about this. You can't do anything to stop it. Nothing. We in Siskiyou County, we can't do anything to stop him. There's only 40,000 of us. He has 500,000 constituents. And so less than 10% of us are too much trouble, so he's going to ignore us. And he can fool around with whatever he wants to because we don't have the horsepower to stop that or get him kicked out of office or elect someone that we think might do a better job. There's no way because the money elects Brian Daly, not us, not the voters.
Yeah, and that's the key. He's got an R next to his name, and he's on a ballot in an area with a lot of R's. So, you know, and the R's put all the money behind him, so he's got all the money he wants to do with. He's got the right letter next to him on the on the ballot, and he's going to continue to be elected as long as he wants.
And here's the problem for us. You can't vote for someone that has a D next to their name because they want to kill their unborn children. They want to open the borders to anybody and everybody without knowing who they are or what they want so that they can flood into this state. They want to provide free health care for every single one of these criminals. They want to eliminate the Second Amendment. They want to eliminate the sanctity of marriage. They want to eliminate all of these things. You can't vote for them. I mean, you're kind of stuck with this crooked R because you don't want the anarchy of the D. I mean, you're really in trouble if you do and in trouble if you don't. But, I mean, in my opinion, we're in worse trouble if we vote for someone with a D because, like I said, they want open borders, free stuff for all the criminals that flood into this country and into this state, and you're going to pay for that. So, in my opinion, a crook like Brian Daly is certainly the lesser of two evils, but or two weevils, I guess. But you know, we're in a position, an untenable position, where there is no candidate that we can even look to who promises the people of this state liberty and who promises the people of this state that they'll work for them. There is no one. So you have to choose the lesser of two evils in this election, and I'm certainly going to do that because I don't want to throw what little liberty I have left away on some Democrat. I mean,
well, I'm going to stick with the nonpartisan thing. I think I'll vote for a Democrat in the federal senator election on California ballot this year.
Just because she may not live out her term?
Well, just because I really don't have a choice.
Yeah, no, I agree on that one.
But, yeah, I there's one of them that possibly might not live out her term, and if she does, it's possible she might end up in prison. So that's the one I'm going for.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about Feinstein versus De Leon.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
You know, we all know what Kevin Leon is.
Yeah.
We know Dianne Feinstein hates the Second Amendment because she publicly said, if I had the power, I'd tell you, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn in those guns. So yep. That's what Dianne Feinstein is. She's anti-constitutional, but Kevin Leon is even worse because he's the one that stood up in front of the Senate and say, don't worry about the Constitution, pass whatever gun laws you want. And then he holds up a part of a semi-automatic rifle, the lower receiver, I think he held up, and he's yelling at the top of his lungs, this can shoot 30 clip magazine bullet rounds in less than 1 second or whatever he said. I mean, he doesn't even know what a gun does.
No.
He's against them. And here's his logic. One time he was walking through his district in MacArthur Park. By the way, he doesn't live in MacArthur Park because that's a real crime-filled pest hole. And I doubt a multimillionaire who made all of his money off being a legislator would live in that pest hole. He probably lives in Encino in a big mansion. But anyway, once I was walking through my district in MacArthur Park, and I kicked a shell casing on the ground, and I looked down and said, how is it a shell casing can end up on the ground in my district? And that was supposedly, according to his fictional narrative, his beginning of his journey to rid America of the plague of guns. And I have to tell you, on April the 19th, 1775, guns were definitely not a plague to America. And ever since then, you have the right to self-defense. It is an absolute right, an inalienable right. And if you vote for anyone that doesn't observe that right, then we're making a mistake. And the only single exception to that in California is probably Feinstein, because you're right. Hopefully she'll end up in prison. And there is no alternative in that election.
Yeah, the Trump rallies have changed their narrative. Lock her up now refers to her instead of Hillary Clinton. So, you know, I'll do what I can to help that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that brings me to another topic is Second Amendment in California. We have a real opportunity here to regain Second Amendment rights in California. It's a real opportunity. I think it can be done. It's a pretty good case. You know, the problem I'm having is I can't find a federal attorney who has the backbone to even take a look at it. I mean, I can't tell you how frustrating it is after a couple months of trying to find a federal attorney who will file an injunction against the state of California based on a case that's already binding on every judge in the circuit. It's absolutely frustrating. So, you know, I think we could revive our Second Amendment rights with the right to open carry a weapon in the state of California, which is the protected right in the Second Amendment. We have the opportunity to restore that right in California. I just need a federal attorney who can file a simple injunction.
You know,
away we go.
I think we'll be frustrated with that injunction, too, because, you know, when they want to file an injunction against Trump, they come out here to our Ninth Circuit, and miraculously, it's literally the same day. The same day they file it, a judge is able to hear it and impose it.
Oh,
How long do you think it's going to take if you were to find a federal attorney, say, tomorrow to file this injunction? How long do you think it would take to go through the Ninth Circuit?
Well, procedurally, it doesn't have to go through the Ninth Circuit. That's the best part about this, because Chambers versus United States, which was a Ninth Circuit in-bank ruling, says that the results of opinions in the Ninth Circuit are binding upon all federal judges in the circuit. So Young versus Hawaii, Judge O'Scanlan said that open carry of a loaded weapon is a protected right in the Constitution, and it extends beyond the privacy of your home into the public area. So Judge O'Scanlan ruled that in Young versus Hawaii. Chambers versus United States, which is a Ninth Circuit case, dictates that any opinion in the Ninth Circuit is binding on every judge, even trial judges in the circuit. So that is the law, and those are the rules of the Ninth Circuit. That's the rules for California, for the Eastern District of Federal Court. So all I need to do is go in front of a judge and say, but unfortunately, here's the rub. You cannot force a state to stop enforcing an unconstitutional law unless you sue them. So if I can get a federal attorney to go into court and say to a judge, we need a restraining order to bar California from enforcing portions of the penal code that prohibit the open carry of a loaded weapon because Young versus Hawaii says it is unconstitutional. That's all we need to do. And by their own rules, a judge is bound to grant that order.
They're bound to grant it, but how would they, you know, it's going to be entered in and go on the docket. I mean, could they not just kind of ignore the docket and postpone it for as long as possible?
Well, I mean, I suppose in that regard, anything's possible, but temporary restraining orders are applied for all the time, and a temporary restraining order is considered an emergency measure, and there are four bars of law that you have to meet in order to have a judge hear that. This case meets all the four bars, so, you know, you couldn't delay that forever. And now California has entered into this because in the Young versus Hawaii case, the state of Hawaii is asking for an in-bank review, and I don't think I'm pronouncing that correctly. I think correctly it's en banc, but anyway. So the state of Hawaii is asking the entire Ninth Circuit, at least 11 judges, to rehear the case because they didn't like what they heard the first time. Now, they're advancing a very weird legal theory, and the legal theory of the state of Hawaii is that the Second Amendment only contains a vague reference to the, quote, public carry of a firearm and not to either open carry or concealed carry. And then they're attempting to use some case that the NRA botched, Peruta versus San Diego, where the NRA was arguing that states can ban open carry if they allow concealed carry. Well, the Ninth Circuit en banc ruled that concealed carry is not a right protected under the Second Amendment, and that agrees with Heller. They're right about that. But since the case wasn't asking the question about open carry, because the NRA really doesn't favor open carry, that question was never answered. Well, the state of Hawaii is trying to apply that logic to say that it is the right to public carry, and states can regulate or ban any form of public carry that they want to. Well, the NRA has another fake open carry case called Ferguson v. Bacara, and that's just about to go into the Ninth Circuit, and it's being appealed to the Ninth Circuit because they lost the case, and they should have. It's, you know, it's this concealed carry stuff is a dead loser because Heller already ruled it's not a protected right. Open carry is. So now the state of California has just entered this contest, and they want to join the Ferguson case to the Young case. And they want the Ninth Circuit to hear Ferguson en banc initially in conjunction with Young on a rehearing. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, gosh, if the court goes for that, they are truly corrupt. And they are.
Yes,
but,
they are.
The cases are two very different cases, but they're trying to join the two. Now, here's the good part if we could get this going. that muddies the water. And that means it's going to take the Ninth Circuit much longer to decide whether they want to go for this goat rope or not, which opens the window to get a temporary restraining order, and those are only good for 2 weeks. So at the end of the two-week period, it would have to be converted to either a temporary injunction or a permanent injunction, which would bar California from enforcing the ban on open carry in this state. And they are bound by their own rules to do it. That's plain in the law. Now, judges are unassailable. You can't get rid of them for doing illegal stuff, apparently. So it's not a guarantee, but there's a pretty good shot at this. I just need a federal attorney that has the backbone to file the case.
Hey, Mark, we're getting a sign to go to a break. Can you hold on till after the break?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk to you about some of the federal appointments that Trump's been making.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. So the time has come.
For 51.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework
for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick. In my other life, I'm the marketing director for Redding Kia.
It's Customer Appreciation Month. You can own a 2018 Kia Rio ID 074062 for $229 per month and zero down.
Oh, my goodness. Own a new 2018 Kia Forte ID 281123. $256 per month, zero down. Interest rates going up, but not at Redding Kia.
It's 0% financing for 66 months on all new 2018 Kia Fortes, Kia Optimas, Kia Niros, and Kia Stingers. Customer Appreciation Month ends 10/31/2018.
Kia Rio MSRP 15960 minus 1000. Kia customer cash 84 months at 4.19 APR. Kia Forte MSRP 18902 minus 2250. Kia customer cash 84 months at 4.19 APR.
0% for 66 months is $15.15 per 1000 financed on approval of credit, plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, any electronic filing charge, any emission testing charge, subject to prior sale.
Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Now witness, witness, with which we are.
We're back.
All right, Mark, are you still there? I'm hearing that.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that Trump has appointed like 74 federal judges, and he's now not asking Dianne Feinstein or Kamala Harris's input on the ones on the Ninth Circuit that he's going to be appointing.
And they're not happy.
You know, that's kind of interesting, because that's that blue chit or blue check deal that started, I don't know, 20 or 30 years ago. I'm not sure what the origins of that are, but it's this kind of de facto deal that the two state senators in any given state will have discretionary powers over judges that any president appoints to serve in districts that encompass their state. I mean, what a ridiculous notion that the executive branch has the power to appoint judges with the advice and consent of the Senate, but the two state senators have ultimate power over the president as to whether he appoints this person or that person.
I think that was another rule kind of instilled, like the Biden rule, where, hey, when we're in power, we want to play by all these rules. But when the shoe's on the other foot, we're going to ignore these rules.
Yeah.
Well, I think in fairness and in honesty, that blue check thing has gone through different administrations, both Republican and Democrat. So I don't I'm not sure, you know, who derived the most benefit from it or why. But I mean, the point is, constitutionally, the executive has certain powers. The legislature has certain powers. Has certain powers. And whenever one branch of government abdicates responsibility for some of those powers to another branch, or conversely, grabs power from another branch that it doesn't deserve and doesn't constitutionally have, there's a problem there, and bad things happen. And this blue check thing is part of the reason that the Ninth Circuit is stacked with socialist, communist, liberal judges who don't follow the law and refuse to acknowledge precedents and anything else they don't want to acknowledge. These guys are like gods out here.
Well, and
so I applaud President Trump for using the power of the executive to appoint judges. Now, you know, I forget who said this, but it was recently on the news where one of the opposition party, the Socialist Progressive Party, was mad because, the president's just trying to accomplish a political agenda by appointing these judges. Well, really?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, isn't that what President Obama did when he appointed judges? Isn't that what President Clinton did when he appointed judges? I mean,
yep.
It's funny how the party that lost the election is really mad because the party that won the election is using that election to accomplish political goals. Oh, well, goodness gracious.
And that's because the Bushes rolled over during that time. So, you know, they played by these rules. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like, again, when one party's in power, it's okay to do these things. When the other party, not so much. You can kind of say Trump is resisting the resist movement.
Well, and also, too, keeping in mind, too, with the judges that that President Trump is slated to appoint, they're young. They're in their 40s and their 50s. And if, you know, using this blue slip thing that they call, you know, the process is called the blue slip. So he's using that to, as, you know, as part of the game. He's playing by the rules, and he's looking at appointing at least three for sure here in California that are in their 40s and 50s. They're all conservatives. They're along the line of where he wants them to be. And that's what scares the heck out of our two Democratic senators here in California, by which, you know, it's still that in a nutshell is where it's wrong as well. So that's good. That's a good thing that he's doing that. So I just, you know, he's using the rules. He's using the rules that everybody else has either rolled over on or used to their advantage. So why not? And they're just going to kick, scream, and squeal until they can't anymore. And that's what it's all going to be about.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree with you. It's an opportunity for the executive branch of government to, in my opinion, of course, to return some kind of balance to the court so that there's some measure of liberty afforded to the people. And you don't have federal judges who feel empowered to upset executive privilege and executive power and use the courts for things that the founding fathers never intended the courts to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all part of this theory of the living document theory, where the Socialist Progressive Party, the Democratic Party, feels like, you know, we're new and they were old, and we know better what they meant than they did when they wrote it, and therefore the Constitution is a malleable document, and we can change it to reflect whatever political goals we want to reflect. And they're constantly talking about, it's a threat to our democracy. President Trump is a threat to our democracy, and the Electoral College is a threat to our democracy, and so on. Well, here's the bad news for the Communist Party of America.
You don't have a democracy.
Which has recently allied themselves. I mean, the president of the American Communist Party is urging everyone to vote Democrat because the socialist democratic wing, the Ocasio-Cortez and the Bernie Sanders and most of the people who are running for office in lower California are socialist Democrats, and they're aligned with the American Communist Party.
Yep.
And their attempt at democracy is an attempt to eliminate the constitutional republic of the United States of America, because as Chris so appropriately pointed out, we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic with checks against the mob itself. And boy, Democrats are really a little bit touchy around that word mob, because they're using the mob to attempt to grab power and usurp power from the checks and balances that belong and are necessary to maintain a constitutional republic, which is our form of government.
Hey, Mark, we've got another caller on the line. They have a question for you. This is Cal. Good morning, Cal. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Wynn. And who else is on the line today?
You are. You and Mark.
Oh, Mark. Hey, good morning, Mark. Thanks for your dedication.
Cal.
Appreciate all you do. And very few people have a handle on what governments should and should not do. And I think you have a pretty good handle on that. I just had a question, a couple questions. One is, what effect would it be if the counties who are seeing all their homelessness and their Agenda 21 and all the oppression in their counties and the taxation, what if the counties, how many counties would it take for enough to become plaintiffs in the lawsuit? How many counties do we need that you think would make a difference in the lawsuit?
Which lawsuit?
I mean, initially, we were only asking for one or two, you know, in order to get the federal judge to understand that these grievances are individual grievances and not general grievances. You know, we were just asking for one or two. We couldn't even find two counties with the backbone to join the lawsuit.
Okay, so I'm the guy who knows how to make that happen. And the counties,
right.
And I can understand keeping the State of Jefferson movement separate from the movement of the people that already exists in the 23 counties. And there's more counties, I'm sure. And it's pretty simple. You can go to your county website and look up how to do a recall petition, but the process is different from what most people think. And most people have tried it and they failed because they don't understand how to make sure someone never ever gets elected again who's been a pervert of the law. And so we have so many people that are kind and gentle, and that's what a lot of people want, is the Tweedledee Tweedledum process. But when you ask some supervisors to resign because of their tyranny after they've been researched and we know the expose on them, and then you go ahead and you ask them to resign, well, if John Cox gets elected, he gets to appoint the new county supervisor. But if you expose them well enough, it sends shivers through the rest of the county. So if you restore local and then you get these counties, let's say we got one-third of the state of Jefferson counties. Mark, would that make a difference?
Well, yeah, of course it would, Cal. And so my challenge is get one. Hold classes. Do whatever you need to do. Get us one. Get one. And teach the rest of us how to do it, because that's how we won. That's how we got 23 counties. We started in one. In other words, we practiced what we preach. We did it in Siskiyou County. We went to the board. We got them to see reason. They voted for us. And then we went to neighboring counties and we taught them how we did it, what worked, what didn't work. And then they in turn worked their own counties. And then we realized there were variances, like Shasta County, where the board was so entrenched, they voted not to even listen to what we had to say in the first place. And so that county morphed into the signature gathering behemoth of Jefferson with, I don't know, they probably got over 40,000 signatures already in Shasta County.
We do.
So, you know, my challenge to you is go to your county and do this and teach the rest of us how you did it. But go do it. Get it done. Win. Succeed at what you're proposing, and teach the rest of us how to do it after you have demonstrated that it can be done.
Well, that's a great solution. And my email is repealbadlaws@gmail.com. And I appreciate what you said about if you were to get the counties to, and the tax collectors and the sheriff to change their support of bad laws, what would happen is the financial carpet would be pulled out from underneath them. That's true.
Yeah.
So there's a different solution, and that is let's make counties the plaintiffs in the lawsuit. Repealbadlaws@gmail. Give me a
I agree.
I'll meet with you guys.
Get it.
We can work on it.
Get one done and then teach the rest of us how you succeeded. In other words, let's get one. Get your county, because you have a program. You seem to know what you're talking about. It sounds good to me. I'm with you.
Well,
so
I don't understand why you would want to. I don't understand why you would want to say go and do your one county.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, Clark. Hey, Cal. Cal. Hey, guys.
Guys. We are up against time. We've got to go. I'm so sorry. And hopefully we can continue this next Sunday. We'd love to have you both back, and we can kind of find out what's going on.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Thanks, Cal.
Thank you both.
And the time has come.
For 51.
We don't know you or what you face. It's time to start a brand new state. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days.